It's kind of an interesting thing that he would say that. That God was still willing to give him whatever he wanted. But he, as the Son, was rather to submit to the will of the Father. Though if he would ask, the Father would give him anything. It's all hypothetical. It's not saying that he would ask or that they would come, but just that if he would ask, then they would come. Because the Father hears the Son. And he let the Son submit. His Son isn't being forced. The Son is being told, this is my will. And he came to fulfill the will of God, not to do what he would like to do. That's why I say, it's like, you know, maybe the Son would like to destroy them all. You know, at this point, after all this preaching, would you blame him if he wanted to destroy them? Some people would probably blame him. But when he comes again to destroy them, to destroy the earth, people are going to blame him then too, I suppose. You see what his will was. And people say, oh, let this cup pass. It means he didn't want to bring about the wrath of God. I don't know about that. I think his will was a little different. He was willing to take the kingdom, but more willing rather to obey the Father, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So in the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So Jesus is being taken into custody. Verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to the Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now that, you know, Peter here is trying to stick close. He followed from way back. Now the chief priests, I mean, every person who believes in Christ ought to somewhere in their hearts wish that if they had been in this situation, that they could have went with him. The Spirit is willing. But at that moment, no man could go with him. He was to go alone. And men would seek to enter in with him and to be baptized with him. But it could not be so. God would not give them the heart of courage that they could do it. But later on, they would follow. And Peter was eventually crucified. Or so tradition says. Verse 59, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, meaning that there was no agreement. People came with stories that were maybe too fantastical. A lot of people came who wanted to be witnesses against Christ. That's an interesting point. There were people coming forth to say all kinds of things against him, but they didn't find any that they thought were good. I think that's what the implication is here. Many came. They didn't find any, though, that they thought were, this is good. Like, people came saying things against him, but they wanted to put him to death. They wanted to find things that were worthy of death. Verse 61, this is what they said. This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Of course, that's not exactly what he said. But that's how people took it. And, you know, Jesus intentionally misled them. As far as I'm concerned, people get on me about this because I say that at times he intentionally misled people, like the parables and so on and so forth, that he says things that people aren't able to follow. And so by way of that, they are sort of misled. And when he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up, he was speaking of his body. But he didn't tell them that he was speaking of his body. He knew how they would take it. It's not what he meant. It's a false witness. It's not an accurate account of what he said or what he meant. But they were able to exploit his own words to bring forth false testimony against him. And the high priest arose, verse 62, and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Same thing he said to Judas. Nevertheless, I say unto you, because what he's saying is, I think that they already thought it in their heart. They already said it among themselves. Is this the Christ? And they thought, perhaps it is. But they're still angry with him for not having shown them the respect, shown them the signs they wanted. And he was not a Christ that they were pleased with. So what's going on in their minds? Who can tell? But the Lord knows. Hereafter, continuing verse 64, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. After this, you're going to see me doing these things. These are references to the Old Testament. You know, Psalm 110, Daniel 7:13, coming in the clouds of heaven, sitting on the right hand of power. You know, sit thou in my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. It's funny. They wanted to know if he was the Christ, and he says, well, he gives this sort of cryptic answer that says, yeah, I'm the Messiah. Saying, well, not so much saying, I am the Christ, because that would be immodest. But he says rather just the fact, well, you're going to see me sitting on the right hand of majesty. You're going to see me sit down on the throne and coming in the clouds of heaven. That's how you're going to see me in the future, probably in the resurrection for them. Most likely that's what he has in mind. And they immediately convict him of death. Oh, so you do think you're the Christ, huh? We thought so. He's guilty of death for thinking that he's the Son of God, the Christ. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? Are you the anointed one, God's own Son? You know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, because the Son is the image of the Father. You know, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He is the Son of God, God's own Son. Therefore, he is equal with God. And for them, for a man to say such a thing is blasphemy, even though the scriptures prophesy it, because they believed him not. If they really believed he was God's son, they thought he would do different things, because God is with us. God is with us. If you were God's son, you would do things differently. You would say things differently. But you are not of God, because you are not doing things the way we think you ought to do things. And the powers that he was exhibiting to them, that was devilish. The same thing that's going to be in the end when God's witnesses come forth.